You're listening to WNYC, New York Public Radio, 93.9 AM 820 and WNYC.org. If we always said everything we were thinking, it would probably land us in a lot of trouble. But Joan Rivers has managed to make an award-winning career out of doing just that. And now she has taken time out from her busy life as a comedian, actress, TV host, and CEO to put together a list of her dislikes and a few of her likes for her latest book called I Hate Everyone, Starting With Me. Joan Rivers was on our show in June to talk about it. She's always a very funny guest, so we are re-airing that interview for you now. I began by asking her, when you say you hate everyone, I assume you're not including me.
Well, of course, never to your face.
But behind my back?
Behind your back, who knows? No, but I just, you know, you sit around, you laugh with everyone, you and friends, and just put down everything you hate. My publisher said that. So I started to write down, I hate babies and planes, and I hate child actors, and I hate obituaries that don't tell you how they died. And suddenly the book took shape, and it became, and people were walking around going, me too. I never thought of that, but me too.
So well, have you been saving up these grievances?
No,
or
are
they
just
things that just you just remember, oh gee, there was that thing too. One thing leads to another.
It took about 3 months to write it. And it was just like today we were in an automobile accident, so now I hate limo drivers that scream at each other, you idiots, in a foreign language.
You have turned surprisingly introspective here as well. Why do you say you hate everyone, starting with yourself?
Well, of course, yourself. Anyone that doesn't understand how stupid they are, I have no wish to be their friend. Anyone that really thinks I'm terrific, you want to go, oh, look in a mirror.
But there are terrific people out there.
Yes, but they shouldn't know they're terrific. That's what makes them terrific.
St. Francis of Assisi should have thought,
oh,
gee, what
he
a jerk
use
I am. You say that the self-loathing stems from your relationship with your parents and early concerns over your appearance. So have you always hated yourself?
Well, it's very hard when you're born and your parents throw you out and keep the afterbirth. You know what I mean? So from the beginning, it's been rough with my parents. They used to say, go play outside. We lived in a houseboat, you know, so it never worked.
The doctor slapped you and then slapped you again.
Yeah, exactly. Took a look and really slapped you.
Do you wish that you'd gotten angrier when you were a kid instead of living in what you call denial?
Oh, no, that I wouldn't be having this great life I'm having now. You look at all these children, they want to give them such a wonderful life and protect them, and you think you're taking away all their drive and their excitement for life, you know.
So you say all the best haters always hate themselves. Are you getting a bit Freudian here?
Have you been in therapy? Deep. Your people, your listeners are deeper than I am. Oh, I've always been in therapy. But therapy for me is my act. And this, because you... My act, I go on stage or something terrible happened, I just spit it out and talk about it and make it funny.
Well, in therapy, at least in theory, you wind up having some kind of catharsis. So when you walk off the stage, do you feel...
I feel great.
...cleansed?
Yeah, I feel like I've really had a good time with 3,000 friends, yes.
So you think it's healthy to air your anger?
I think it's healthy to voice my anger when we're in a society... We're getting very serious here. But when we're in a society that doesn't allow you to voice your anger, we are not allowed to say, I think that's stupid, or I think that's wrong, or you're ugly, or your child is ugly, and do not force me to look at his picture.
You can't do
any of this. We're such a politically correct society now.
Yeah, well, I think saying your child is ugly is maybe pushing it. Just don't it's beautiful.
No. God bless everybody. Have your grandchildren. Enjoy them. But don't make me look at a really ugly child and they say, isn't he gorgeous? And you say, look at you. Look at your husband. Impossible.
The genes prevent that.
Your
from
daughter
happening.
Got married because there was a major eclipse. So your grandchild is a scare.
You also say that airing your anger is good because antidepressants cause bloating.
Yes, I'm very shallow. The book is very funny, I must say, she said humbly.
Well, isn't forgiveness a virtue?
Who cares?
You talk about how the presence of a hater makes the best dinner party.
But isn't it? Yeah. One of my very good friends is Rex Reed, the critic. And I will take Rex and put him at a dinner party, and it's an automatic success because you'll say, gee, I enjoyed making this up now, the best man. You like that? And the party is off and running. It's great.
Well, with Rex Reed, I often yell at his reviews, so...
Yeah, but he's very, and he cares.
Can I say something mean?
Not
about
Rex.
Rex Reed? Oh, I was going to.
Can't.
I have a Rex Reed rule. If he likes it, I'm sure I'm going to hate it. If he hates it, I think I'll probably like it. And if we both agree on something, I have to go back and reconsider my opinion.
But Rex cares. I love, he's passionate about what he does.
So whoever thought that I was going to be the one who's going to hate everyone.
Yeah.
Before you even begin in this book, you include a disclaimer that it's a humor book and that your publishing house demanded that you point that out. Was it hard? is it hard
we
to get?
We were just banned from Costco. They will not say.
You told David Letterman that last night because there are certain words on the cover?
There are certain words on the cover.
You can't say them on the air. But
I won't. But I wasn't going to get nothing stupider than a humor book with serious blurbs. You know, I really enjoyed this. She's a good writer. Woody
She's
Allen.
So funny. Laugh out loud.
Yeah, ha, ha, ha. So I wrote out all my own. And one of them was, I won't say the word, Marie Antoinette says, in essence, I hate Joan Rivers. Never mind not eating, she shouldn't eat, let her eat cake. Never mind eating cake, she should eat, it starts with an S.
Mm-hmm.
And Costco, who sells meat that's made of pink crap, who sells ton loads of Cheese Whiz to 500-pound women, you know what I'm saying? Ammo to kids, joke, only kid eat, because I don't need them to sue me, objected. And I found this fascinating. Meanwhile, you're selling video games, so they kill each other.
Yeah, but your publisher must have been worried, or was it your
They're
agent?
They're very worried. My publisher was very worried. And I said, it's like being banned in Boston. I think I'm the first humor book that was ever not sold by Costco. But meanwhile, we're in Target, and we're in the others, Walmart, we're in BJ's. Who cares?
So it is funny. In the past, banned in Boston usually meant you'd have more sales. Maybe banned in Costco is going to put this on the bestseller list.
I should have called it. Never mind. I hate everybody. I should have called it After My Legs. I should have called it 48 Shades of Blue. I think that would have done very well. We could package.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, could you explain that phenomenon? Why is B&D now the hottest thing for the female reading public?
Well, it's really...
And does it give hope to men who have always fantasized tying their wives up?
I think it gives hope to women who wanted someone to pull you by the ponytail and ravish you. When your husband's tired and goes, oi. I watched the Jews march last Sunday, the Jewish parade. They were exhausted. They'd walk a block, then they'd sit on a bench. Jews don't ravish their wives.
It's not called a parade. It's called the schlep.
A schlep.
So...
it looked like accountants gone wild.
Do you think that you've reached a point in your career where you can pretty much say anything that you want about anyone you want?
Yeah. I'm at the age now where I don't care. As I say to the audience, and I think I've never worked better in my life, and I'm being very immodest, but I really think... I am so happy on stage. I'm working so freely on stage. And the audiences are just responding amazingly. I don't care. What are you going to do to me? Fire me? Been fired. I'm going to go bankrupt? Been there. My husband's going to kill himself? Killed himself. Did it. And it just frees you. Nothing scares you anymore in life.
Was Don Rickles a role model? Or are you doing something different?
Don is a very different kind of comedian. You know, he'll do more individual about individuals. I just rant about everything.
But you can't just rant. You have to be clever in your insults.
Well,
and obviously that's where the art is.
Well, obviously. If I did it, I do an hour and a half on stage. If they're not laughing, I can rant now in the bathroom.
In your acknowledgments, you say you're grateful that the people of the world are getting dumber and stupider because it gives you a whole new generation of idiots to hate.
Yeah.
Does that mean your job has gotten easier over the years?
No, it's just opening up like ripples on a stream.
My guest is Joan Rivers, whose latest book is I Hate Everyone, Starting With Me. It's published by Berkeley, and if this is any kind of endorsement, it has been banned in Costco, and Sam's Club is considering doing something similar.
Are they really?
No. If Costco does it, Sam's Club does it.
I can say everybody buy the book somewhere else and then return it to Costco and get them crazy.
You dedicate a whole chapter to how bad manners are more widespread than they used to be.
Oh, well, am I right?
What do you think that is?
Oh, I'm just, because nobody says excuse me when they fart. You know what I mean?
Did they in the past?
Yes.
Didn't people on the subway always just look at the next person?
No, you acknowledge and you say things like, I'm sorry, I wilted your flower. Sorry, I wilted your corsage.
No, but it's also people don't even know when they're in your way because they have headphones in their ears.
And
you say, excuse me, and they don't move, not because they're being rude, but simply because they're oblivious.
But don't you, I find myself, I try to say hello to everybody. I'll go, hello, nice to see you. And if they don't answer, I say, or not, screw you. And I walk on. I think people should acknowledge. I think we have no manners. I remember my dad, may he rest in peace, we'd get into an elevator, he'd take his hat off if a lady came in. You know what I mean? It was, people would stand up. A man would stand up at a table when a lady walked in.
I used to take my hat off until I started losing my hair.
Yes, yeah.
You admit to hitting a lot of the Hollywood stars at events as the host of Fashion Police on
yes.
E!, it's something you have to talk about all the time. But do you think that it makes some people afraid to even talk to you on the show?
Well, what we've done with Fashion Police, I don't do these red carpet per se anymore, my daughter and I, because you cannot say, I hate hypocrisy. And you can't say to someone, don't you look nice? And then you walk away and say, Julia Roberts look like a whore, you know. So I just say this, I just wait till I get into the studio and then I do my critiquing.
Mm-hmm.
And Fashion Police has become huge. It's a huge success on E. And men watch it because it's funny.
Well,
women watch
it
for the fashion, and men watch it because it's
very
funny.
They like the dishing.
They like the dishing.
You've been very open about how you feel about plastic surgery. But what about fashion? Do you think that when someone wears something, it makes them more or less attractive?
Don't you as a man?
Of course. But I
think
that if somebody is just genetically born physically beautiful, we tend to overlook the fact that
they're a pig and stupid.
That dress or whatever that outfit is a terrible mistake.
But if we have a real uggo and we put them in a nice dress, they become less of an uggo. And I don't mean to make fun of anybody. My very good friend Kathy Bates, I shouldn't mention names.
Oh, you're calling Kathy Bates an uggo?
No, she tried to kill herself because someone called her a fatso.
Really?
And that she shouldn't have been on the Titanic because otherwise it wouldn't have sunk. And she tried to kill herself this morning, try to hang herself. But she's fat, so the rope broke, so it's okay.
Is that true?
No, it's a long setup for a joke.
I was worried for Kathy
no,
Bates.
No, I like her. She's a very good actress.
You talk a lot
but
of
she
it.
Is chubby.
Yeah, well,
cows tip her.
You know, there are many people in America who are chubby.
And they shouldn't be.
Most of them are the ones who are sitting on the subway when I'm hoping to get a seat.
With two seats, yeah. Or sitting next to you in a three-seater on a plane, and they slop all over you.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do when somebody on a plane has his arm... Even if they're not overweight, they have their arm into your seat. They're kind of leaning in your direction. Do you have clever words to say?
Yes, I say to them, I hope you can help me. Do you know how to change a colostomy bag? They usually,
that'll work every time.
They usually move. So nice of you. Thank you.
You talk a lot about aging in this book and people's appearances, but you also notice that a lot of aging male rock stars have beautiful women hanging around.
Yes. Paul McCartney, who knew he liked stumps? Who knew he married that second wife because he's into stumps? She had one leg. I would have been in a bathroom with a jug of ice and a saw so fast.
But do you think...
I mean, that's what these are rich guys. She got $500 million from him.
Yeah, well, if someone's a rich star, a rock star or
a
CEO who makes billion dollars a year, they often wind up with these
trophy
wives and girlfriends.
And it's very easy, especially...
Is it easy to look the other way?
Well, the trick is when you're faking orgasm, know which is his good ear. Because it's stupid to moan into the ear he can't hear. I think, look, everything is a deal in life. You know that.
You fake your orgasms, Joan. I'm so disappointed.
Well, at this point, I have no choice. Last man that satisfied me was Nero.
Nero?
That's how old I am.
That's because he was fiddling around, right?
Touché.
You joke that Betty White has all the sassy grandma roles.
Yeah,
locked up these
killing
days.
Me.
Are you competing with her for those parts?
I was getting all those good roles. I got the hemorrhoid commercial. I got Depends. I was really moving there for a while. And then back from the dead, Betty White shows up.
She's the official old person.
She's the official old person. I'm really thinking of taking the batteries out of her. I've fallen. I can't get up.
But is it limited for aging women in show business?
And a lot of them, Sally Field, who doesn't even have osteoporosis, got a Boniva. You know, if you're going to say, I'm crumbling, do it on camera.
You want to see Sally Field bent over?
I want to see her break a hip. I want to hear smash crack. Then she can say, I'm taking Boniva.
Stuart from Manhattan has written in. He wants to know what you think about Maya Bloomberg's proposed rules about the amount of sweeteners in sugar in soda.
Okay, now this is interesting. I saw Maya Bloomberg last night. Not kidding. I was at an event where they didn't honor me.
They honored
every other schlep that lives in New York. It was honoring New Yorkers. My garbage man got an award. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there. But he
makes you feel any better. I wasn't invited.
Well, I feel better then. You've never seen people... Harvey Keitel. I like him, but why are we honoring Harvey Keitel?
Because he's a bad lieutenant.
Okay. You understand? So,
okay.
Anyhow, Meryl Streep, who doesn't even live in New York, she was honored. So anyhow, so I was a little bitter last night. And I was talking to Mayor Bloomberg, and he is trying... He said, just look around and look what's going on. Do I think it's going to happen? I think it's going to be a long fight, but I think it's going to make them more aware.
So you support it?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to make it a law, but I certainly think be aware that you're giving yourself problems. What I do think is it should be if you continue to do this, then we're not going to support you in the health care. You know what I mean? Don't wear a helmet, but then when you crack your head open, you ass, I'm not going to pay for your medical bills.
Stuart also wants to know about your take on Queen Elizabeth's Jubilee celebration.
Well, as I said on Letterman last night, I'm very close to her. First time I met her, I had only seen her on a stamp. I went over and I licked the back of her head, and she loved it. She loved it.
What do you think about that special fashion approach that they developed for her? I mean, you see her walking down a street, and you know immediately it's Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're shooting people out of her way. So you
know, but I'm talking about the hat, the kinds of dresses she wears.
A friend of mine was very friendly with them, and they always wear solid colors so they can be noticed in a crowd. And so that's one of the reasons that's what she did. I thought for her, again, she looked good. A beauty she isn't.
You've appeared on the shows of up-and-coming comedians like Louis C.K.'s series.
I adore him.
Do you feel it's important to support new comedians?
No. I think you should try to kill them off.
Because they're the competition.
Screw them. Let them go back and work a little harder.
Do you think
But there's certain ones that just are coming up.
But also, you have to be pleased that we're seeing more comedies from women like Bridesmaids, where in the past there was that people like Christopher Hitchens said that women had no senses of humor.
Oh, that's morons. You know, and Jerry Lewis. That idiot, like he makes us laugh. That's why I hate the French. They gave us Dreyfus and Jerry Lewis. I think women are if you're funny, you're funny. And I thought Bridesmaids is wonderful, that women are allowed to be funny. That's Saturday Night Live that did that, going all the way back to the original company with
Jane
Rosanna Donna. You know,
Rita
what was it? Gilda
Radner.
Yeah, brilliant. See, it's very nice. You can always talk well with the dead.
There's a lot about what you hate in this book: cooking, traveling, nature.
I hate cooking. God, want me to cook?
Since I enjoy all of those things, what does that say about me?
If you love to cook, that's because you don't have to do it every day. If you had to do it every day, you wouldn't love it.
What
I think
traveling?
Cooking is an art.
You don't like traveling? Or you travel for work.
I travel without a stop.
But I travel for pleasure.
Yeah, I travel for pleasure, too.
So
I wish I had
okay?
my own yacht.
You mentioned that you like reading the wedding announcements and obituaries in the New York Times. The obituaries, you read them and say, oh, gee, I have
angry.
Two more years to go?
No, I get furious when they don't tell. Like, Harry Schwartz died, and they don't tell you how. Tell me, rectal itch. Now I know what to avoid. Or the only ones I hate the most, Sadie Ginsburg, 109, suddenly. How suddenly can this be? It should say, finally. The woman was sitting there so hunched over, she was looking up at her crotch. It is not suddenly.
The last time you were on our show, you were living in Los Angeles with your daughter, Melissa. And
look how you remember.
You talked about your reality show, Joan and Melissa.
Yeah.
Joan knows best. But you say in this book that you love New York and you'd be perfectly happy if you could always live within five blocks of Fifth Avenue. So are you back?
First of all, we're in our third year now, Joan and Melissa, which is fabulous. So we're a big success, which is great. And I commute. And I can't leave New York. I am a New Yorker. I go out to Melissa's. The room is so small. When I'm not there, I think she raises veal. You know, it's like teensy, tiny room. But I love seeing my family out there.
So you've kept your New York apartment?
Of course. I'm trying to sell it. You know a rich Arab? You can make a pit in the center. They could burn things.
I could be a real estate agent on the side, Joan. They make a lot
of
money.
Find me a rich Russian.
Do you enjoy meeting the public and signing
books? I love meeting the public. I love just saying hello to them. And at this age, it's like seeing friends. You know, you all know so much, and there's such a history that goes on with the people.
But you do not say to them, you know, that's an ugly dress.
No. I'm very careful, especially when it's on a man.
Yes. I knew you were going to say, you know,
I was
thinking the same joke.
It's an easy joke, right?
Joan Rivers' book, I Hate Everyone Starting With Me, is published by Berkeley. But, Joan, I didn't hate the book.
No, thank you.
And
how about New York Times Best Summer Reading? How about People Magazine 3.5 stars? Unbelievable.
On tomorrow's show, the violinist Midori talks about her 30th anniversary of performing. She made her debut with the New York Philharmonic when she was just 11 years old. Landscape architect Kate Orff discusses the book Petrochemical America on the causes of environmental abuse along North America's largest river system, plus industrial hygienist Monona Russell on theater safety. The Leonard Lopez Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan's the executive producer. We had help today from Todd McGovern, Ellen Frankman, and contributing producers Barbara Kahn and Fran Jacobs. Debbie Daughtry was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopez, your host. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. We'll see you tomorrow.